Welcome back to our show. I'm Gary Fretz. And if you would like to read more about Stephen and Estelle's adventures sailing around the world, just go to www.catamaranguru.com. Now, in our last segment, we were talking about pets and how much fun they can be on a boat. And Stephen, you had an experience with Octo the cat. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we met an Australian. His name was Ian. He's a very nice chap. He'd built his own boat in Australia and sailed across the Indian Ocean, and we met him in Madagascar. And he had this big old tabby cat called Octo. And Ian had a way of training his cats. He later got a little kitten, and I was watching him train that. And the little kitten would look over the side, and he'd walk up behind it and just with his toe flip it over the side of the boat into the water. And I never could understand why he had these two large, thick ropes hanging from the stern of his boat. And he trained his cats that if they hit the water, the first thing they had to do was figure out which way to swim and swim straight to these ropes. And, of course, cats have these sharp claws, and they just climb the rope back on deck. I mean, I thought it was absolutely smart as anything. Anyway, he was telling me that one night he was in pretty bad weather, and Octo used to sit in the cockpit when he was in bad weather. It was nighttime. And he was sitting there. The next thing, this wet animal from the deep launched itself into the cockpit. And what had happened is Octo had fallen overboard under sail. And this cat, he was a big, strong cat, had managed to get a claw into this rope, climbed up, and leapt into the cockpit in the middle of the night. Ian almost jumped out the other side. But just shows you training in that. And, of course, you know, if that cat had missed that rope, he would have probably been dead because he would have been overboard and gone. But anyway, just one thing always remember, that every country, you know, we had to swap Albert for a rug. And, you know, we still got the rug, very nice rug. But going to foreign countries, you always need to know if you have pets what their rules are. Mostly ex-British colonies have very strict quarantine rules, etc. And so it's just something that you really need to keep in mind.
Thank you for all that advice about pets. They sound like fun things to have on a boat. Now, you guys have traveled many, many miles. Like, how many, in excess of how many miles have you traveled on a yacht?
We've probably done about 40,000 nautical miles.
Wow. Okay. So when you go to all these foreign ports, you obviously can't carry your car with you, but you need to get around when you get to land. And so talk about how you do that.
Well, I'm going to share this with Estelle because, you know, this is a very broad subject. You know, the first real foreign country we ever arrived in was Madagascar. And there, it's a very poor country, and, you know, they had those little Renaults with this gear shift that come out of the dashboard. And they had these rickshaw, like little rickshaw carts, and they were called puspus.
And wait. We can't talk about X-rated things on this show. Are you sure about that?
No, it's French, and it's called a puss, maybe push, but that's what it was called. We were as shocked as you are. And so we would get in these little carts, and you'd pay the equivalent of maybe 3 cents. And then this Malagash fellow used to go running, and you say, okay, find me a bar, and we'd get like one for each of us. We had four crew when we got to Madagascar, and we'd have these four little carts with these guys running along, pulling us, you know, and I knew I got my money's worth when I saw the sweat running down his back, but that was the primary transport in the first place we got to when we left South Africa.
Yeah, at first I felt really, really bad about these guys. You know, these skinny guys running around town with us white people sitting in the back of their little cart. But we were told that, you know, we are creating employment, and they feed their families, and it's a good thing to do. And it's a tradition in their country. Anyway, so we also had these guys pull our 44-gallon drums of diesel to the boat. Now, Stephen, we'll have to tell that one.
Oh, it turns out that there's not only people puspuses, there's also cargo puspuses. And so we needed fuel for our boat. So we went and we had to rent a 44-gallon drum. Then we rented a little cargo puspus, which we then jumped in people puspuses, and we ran up to the gas station where we filled this thing with 44 gallons of diesel. And then the whole procession then proceeded down to the port. And that's how we used to fuel the boat. So Madagascar was a really interesting place. You know, we there was puspuses and renos. That was the sum total of it. We left Madagascar and sailed back towards Africa and got onto the African coast and made landfall in Kenya. And in Kenya, they have another form of transport, which Estelle is very, very, she's an expert at.
Yeah, that was called the matatu. It's a minibus and filled to capacity. I mean, literally, you couldn't fit not an ant into those taxis, as they call them. And at one point, Stephen and I jumped on, of course, because that's how you get to town. That's how you get to the market. And they pushed us in with the rest of the guys as tight as you can possibly imagine. And I thought I was going to faint. This was just above everything. So.
You know, the matatus are, I guess, in this country, in America, I guess they would be like 15 or 20-seater buses. And they had stereo systems, which I think they ran little generators on the roof. They made so much noise. You could hear them coming from about 2 miles away. So you didn't have to look down the road. You just sat there. When you heard this rap music, you knew that the bus was getting close. And when you jumped on this, they had a guy that was like the conductor guy. And so you would get on the bus, and he would literally fill the thing up so tight. If you were standing in the aisleway, he would then come and ask you to stagger, because if you staggered, it was like, you know, the bullets in the magazine of a gun, so you could get more in. And then, I mean, I've seen them come past where the conductor's hanging on to either side of the door with people literally laying on his chest. That's how they used to fill these suckers up.
Yeah, and imagine then coming back from town with all your shopping bags. It was a nightmare. But that's how we got around. And after about 4 months in the country, I became an expert. I could squish myself in there with the best of them.
Very good. These sound like great tips. Now, the last time I was out cruising was for about 6 months, and one thing that I really like to have on the boat, which comes in extremely handy, are bikes, folding bicycles. They make these for yachts, and they're made of materials that will not rust easily. But some of them are made in China, and they're not really the highest of quality. But anyway, folding bikes are a great thing to have on a boat, and we had lots of fun traveling around on folding bikes in the various places we went. Now, when you guys get to a foreign port, how do you find all the different like markets and things? Because they're not right there, but is that a problem?
Well, you know, that reminds me of a story when I went to Germany. We were going to go to the Oktoberfest, and we were staying in some suburb, and me and my buddy, we didn't know how to find the Oktoberfest. So we went down to the local station, and we saw a German guy with leather pants on and this hat and a shaving brush in his hat and braces. So we looked at each other, and we said, this guy has got his drinking clothes on. So we just followed him, and you know, he led us straight. We went through two stations and a bus, etc. But we just eventually, the guy was getting quite self-conscious because he thought we were following him, but we actually were, and we actually found the beer gardens following the German guy. But anyway, mostly when you get into an anchorage, you'll find there's lots of cruisers that are there that have been there before you, and the sort of the the tradition is that if you go into an anchorage and you knew the other people in the anchorage will come up with their dinghies, say hi, and they will generally give you the lay of the land. They'll tell you where customs is. They'll tell you where the local market is, where the best bread is, where you can change money. So, again, you're back to the fraternity of cruisers who really do take care of their own. You know, that's a group that you can always rely on.
So only speaking English is not a problem. I mean, you guys could survive quite well just speaking English, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we also learned the languages in the countries, and you know, by pointing at things in the market. But and here we go, Gary. I think we're running out of time.
Okay, so we're running out of time for this segment, and we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back. You're listening to Yachts, the perfect escape vehicle, only on the Overseas Radio Network.